I'd like to read in John's Gospel, John chapter 20, page 1299, John 20 verse 19. John 20 verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, which was the first day of the week, and the doors shut where the disciples were through fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and says to them, "Peace be to you." And having said this, he showed to them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced, therefore, having seen the Lord. Jesus said, therefore, again to them, "Peace be to you. As the Father sent me forth, I also send you." And having said this, he breathed into them, and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I'll refer to another scripture later. What a need there is for peace in this world today. How much there is fear around. We read about fear in this passage and peace. How much fear there is in the world today in many different ways. People are fearful. Are fearful of all kinds of things. Things that might happen to them, but things that are happening amongst the nations. A time of turmoil and concern and worry amongst many, many people about what is happening in man's world. The failure of governments and the breakdown of law and order, terrorism, civil wars that never seem to get resolved. How many, many terrible things there are in the world today. How much there is a need for peace. I was thinking about that you can achieve many, many things in this life. You can have a successful career and as much money as you want. And yet, if you don't have peace, it really doesn't mean very much at all. Peace isn't something that money can buy in that sense. It can buy you some things, but it certainly doesn't buy you peace with God. And it doesn't buy you peace in your soul. It doesn't buy you peace in the most valuable thing. You sometimes see that, don't you? People that have everything that money can buy, and yet the more they have, the more worried they are, the more lack of peace that they have. But this is, the gospel goes out to rich and poor alike. The gospel goes out to everyone who needs peace, and that's everyone, isn't it? Everyone needs peace. Everyone needs to know peace. What kind of peace do we need? I was just thinking about that, and let's have a quick look at Job. Job chapter 34, verse 12. "Yea, surely God acteth not wickedly, and the Almighty perverteth not judgment. Who hath entrusted to him the earth, and who hath disposed the whole world? If he only thought of himself, and gathered unto him his spirit and his breath, all flesh would expire together, and man would return to the dust. If thou now hast understanding, hear this. Give ear to the voice of my words. Should he that hateth right indeed govern, and wilt thou condemn the all just? Shall one say to a king, Belial, to nobles wicked? How then to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich man more than the poor? For they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die, even at midnight. The people are convulsed and passed away, and the strong are taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his steps. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he doth not long consider a man to bring him before God in judgment." That's the greatest, the most important peace that we need, dear friends, is peace with God. Peace with the God who holds the breath, our breath, in his hands. Think of the majesty of this. If he only thought of himself, and gathered unto him his spirit and breath, all flesh would expire together. What a tremendous majesty there is with God. He holds the breath of every living thing in his hands. What a reminder that is of the majesty of the power of God. The peace that we need to have, dear friends, is with him, firstly. That's the greatest need that mankind has today for peace. We wonder why there's not peace among the nations. Because God has been rejected. The Prince of Peace has been rejected. There will never be peace until the Lord reigns, until the Lord Jesus rightfully reigns. But, dear friends, the peace that we need is with God. What a tremendous statement that is of his majesty. There are many passages in Job that speak of the majesty of God. But why is there why do we not have peace with God now? We don't have peace with God because of our sins, dear friends. It's not that God has gone away from us. We've gone away from God in that sense. We've made ourselves enemies of God through the wicked things that we've done. And it applies to every man, woman and child. By one man sin entered the world, and thus came death. And death passed upon all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a need there is to be right with an almighty God in whose hand is the breath of every living thing. How can we do that? Many people come up with many different things. Many religions try their very best, don't they? And you do feel for people, in a sense you admire people for thinking that they're trying their very, very best to get to God, but it will never do. How sad, how deluded. God's standard is so high, dear friends. What a valuable thing it is. If you have peace with this God, then everything else is less important, isn't it? If we have peace with the God that Job is described in Job, if we have peace with him, what a wonderful peace that is. And that's what becoming a Christian is, dear friends, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Lord Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of his cross, a peace which cannot be bought, a peace which required him to come into this world. It required him as the spotless, holy Lamb of God to give himself. No greater, no less of a sacrifice God required. No greater sacrifice could be made. So the Lord Jesus, the disciples were gathered through fear of the Jews. Many believers today are gathered through fear of persecution. But not only that, there is fear of many, many things. A great deal of fear affects us in many different ways, doesn't it? Man away from God is affected by fear in many, many ways, even as believers too. But we think about the fear of man, the fear of the Jews. But Jesus came and stood in the midst. The Lord Jesus came in the midst, but the first thing he says is, "Peace be to you." Perfect love casts out fear. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Perfect love. The love of the Lord Jesus is perfect. But he shows them his hands and his side, how important that is. His hands and his side were evidence of the fact that he had been to the cross. This is the Lord Jesus after he had risen again. The great foundation of Christianity is that the Lord Jesus is risen. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The fact that the Lord Jesus is alive. We do not preach about a dead saviour. What difference? What difference there is between someone who's dead and someone who's alive? As black and white as the difference. How many religions there are whose founders have long died. How sad that is. The Lord Jesus is alive. The Lord Jesus said that he had been, showed them his hands and his side. Evidence that he had been to the cross. Evidence that he had, his side was pierced and outflowed blood and water. What a price was paid, dear friends, at Calvary's cross. A price that we shall never estimate, a price that we shall never understand. But that blood of the Lord Jesus was shed for your sins and for mine, dear friends. The price, the infinite price of the Son, the blood of the Lord Jesus as the spotless, holy Lamb of God. A greater price could not have been paid, dear friends. Dear friends, the only way for peace with God is his way. And his way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. There is no greater need that you have, dear friends, before you come to the Lord Jesus than having peace with God. The Lord Jesus showed them his hands and his side. He had died. He had borne the punishment of our sins in those 3 hours of darkness. We read about those 3 hours of darkness in Basildon during the week. How touching it is. He cries out to his God as a man before his God. Throughout his life, he had spoken to God many, many times. And in John 17, of course, we have a very special prayer recorded of the Lord Jesus. He always speaks to God as Father, doesn't he? He refers to him as Father. What a relationship that was. What a close and holy relationship every moment of his life. And yet at the cross, he cries out, "My God." my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The relationship of son and father cut off for a time. How awful the Lord it was for the Lord Jesus to bear your sins and mine. How awful it was. We shall never forget the awfulness of the cross. But we think of what he has done. He showed them the evidence of that work. And he showed them the evidence that he was alive. Dear friends, that work has been fully and completely finished. The judgment, the cup of the wrath of and judgment of God against sin has been emptied. He's drained the last dark drop of that judgment of God. How could we bear it ourselves? We could not possibly. There's nothing that we could do to bear the punishment of God against sin. And in the writer in Job says, there is his eyes are upon the ways of man. He sees all his steps. There's no darkness nor shadow of death where workers of iniquity might hide themselves. So darkness isn't good enough, not even the shadow of death. I think that reminds us of the verse that says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Even hiding in death, you can't hide from God. For he does not long consider a man to bring him before God in judgment. What a reminder that is of the holy God who sees everything that we do. But how wonderful it is that tonight, once more, a Saviour is being preached. A way to be right with God is being announced. God is announcing once more that his Son is the way, alone is the way of salvation. The blood of the cross, the blood of the Lord Jesus alone is the price for your sins, dear friends, to wash us clean from our sins. That's why the Lord Jesus is able to bring peace. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. For him, it cost obedience even unto death. Perfect, spotless, holy obedience. Even though he knew exactly what it was that lay before him. And we were noticing also when we read the gospel account that the Lord Jesus cried out with a loud voice. How wonderful that was. The overcoming power of the Lord Jesus in going into death and laying down his life. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. How wonderful. The Lord Jesus has made peace in order that we might have peace. In order that we might, as lost sinners away from him, come before him. Come before the throne of God and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. To repent and turn from our sins and put our faith and trust in him. He's now risen as he was in this passage that we read and now ascended at God's right hand. No greater peace, dear friends, is available and never has been available than what the Lord Jesus can give you. The Lord Jesus gives us peace inside. Peace knowing that our life is in his hand. Once we belong to the Lord Jesus, he has bought us with a price. We realise that we are not our own. We've been purchased and bought with a price. We're not just followers of the Lord Jesus in that sense. We belong to him. How wonderful that is. He gives us that peace which cannot be taken away from us. The Lord Jesus has done a work which cannot be undone. It stands for all eternity. That work could not be added to or taken away. He has done an eternal work on which every believer stands and rests throughout their life and throughout eternity. So he showed them his hands and his side, and they therefore rejoiced, having seen the Lord's. How wonderful that is, to rejoice having seen the Lord's. The gospel was preached in order that you might see the Lord's. There was someone that came to our door the other day, and I gave him a tract, and he said, I'm a Christian already. He said, I had an accident. I had a very bad accident. It was quite some time ago, and I saw the Lord. The Lord appeared to me. He didn't say anything else because he had to go away because he was a delivery driver. He saw the Lord. I don't know what that meant, but that's what he said. How wonderful to see the Lord. We may not necessarily see the Lord with our eyes, but we can see him by faith. They rejoiced having seen the Lord. Then he says to them, again, peace be to you. How much that is needed today. Peace amongst the nations, yes. Peace amongst people, but how much it is needed to have peace within ourselves. Peace with God, peace in ourselves. What a wonderful blessing that is. That's what is on offer tonight. Peace with God, who knows everything that we've done. Peace with a holy and righteous God. And then I was just thinking about in this word in Job. When he giveth quietness, who then will disturb? What a tremendous thing that is. It tells us in Philippians, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard our hearts and thoughts by Christ Jesus. Who, when he gives quietness, who then will disturb? When he hides his face, who shall behold him? This towards a nation or towards a man alike? And we can see throughout history, can't we, that even with nations, God has blessed some nations with peace. And it's evident that there's a blessing attached to that. But the gospel is an individual matter, dear friends. When he gives peace, when he gives quietness, who then will disturb? There's a peace that is far beyond anything this world can offer. He also gives us, when we come to him in repentance, when we come to God in repentance for our sins and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, he gives us peace, but he also gives us the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing that is. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the unspeakable free gift, the Holy Comforter, the Comforter, and many, many other names. What an unspeakable free gift it is to have the Holy Spirit indwelling every believer. There is no greater message, dear friends. There is no greater need that you have tonight than having peace with God, if you don't have it already. There's no greater blessing than receiving that peace, receiving that salvation, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So we are to be saved, but also to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires that we are all men to be saved, men, women and children, but also to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all the truth. And I was just thinking another part of becoming a Christian, coming to the Lord Jesus, is saying what Thomas said at the end. I didn't read it, but in verse 28, Thomas says to the Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." When we become a Christian, the Lord Jesus becomes our Lord. He becomes our Saviour, but it's also our Lord. That means Lord of our life. What a challenge that is to me. But my Lord and my God. The Lord Jesus is God. He in whom all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. How important it is that we know these truths, and in the face of many that try to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus. My Lord and my God. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Peace and life are available tonight from God, dear friends. How wonderful that is. How valuable these things are. Far greater than anything that you can achieve or get in this world. Peace and life through the Lord Jesus. Life is found alone in him. May you come to a knowledge of him as Saviour if you have not done so already. If you have already done so, may we have a greater knowledge of him. It's asking Jesus into our life, recognising that he alone is the only hope. He alone is the only way of salvation. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. What sort of life is this? This isn't just being saved from the power of death. It's eternal life. Eternal life is the knowledge of God. Eternal life is knowing God. This is the eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the enjoyment of God's things now, in this life, even before we get to heaven. How wonderful. Eternal life. What a valuable thing that is. May we come to a greater knowledge and appreciation of the Lord Jesus in all that he has done. At the end of this gospel, it tells us that the Lord Jesus did so many things that even if they were all written, not even the world would contain the books written. How wonderful that is of what how full the life of the Lord Jesus was. But now, through his people, through the Holy Spirit, his work carries on. The Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit down here on earth. carrying out the work, spreading the gospel and working in the hearts of men, women and children to turn them to him. May we have a greater knowledge of these things for his name's sake.
Amen.